if you've got your Bible, go to Colossians 3. If you do not have the Bible, we got you covered. We got Bibles under the seats. You can grab a Bible close to you under one of the seats and go. We even put the page number on your handout. Page 1226 will take you to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote this to a church, just like Crossroads, this letter called Colossians. These people lived at Colossae, so it's called Colossians. And so he's writing this to real people, just like you and I. And have you noticed that music fills the world that we live in? I would guess that this past week you heard music in some form. In your car, in restaurants, in elevators. They even play it in between innings at baseball games, don't they? You know, you've probably got music on your phone that you've listened to. Maybe the radio in your car. But it just seems like that we as human beings are wired for music. And there's a reason for that. The reason why, and if you've ever wondered why, and it doesn't. And the funny thing about it is, it's not a Christian thing. You know, we know that pretty much everyone just loves music, you know? Music's a part of our life. Why? Well, the reason why is because we were created in the image of God. Do y'all believe that man is God's creation in his image? You believe that? Say amen, huh? Yeah, we're his image. We're created in his image. Well, we're created in God's image. Well, guess what? Music was God's idea. Music is a gift from God. God is the creator of music. God, I think you're going to know this by the end of this message, God, our God, loves music. He absolutely loves it. Did you know that the right kind of music, if you can get the right kind of music into your life, it will greatly assist you in living a Christian life that's a life of victory, a life of hope, a life of faith. It'll help you big time. I know my personal, and that's based on scripture, that's not my opinion, and we're going to look at it in a minute in the Bible. We're going to look at a ton of verses today. Most of it's either in your handout, we're going to put it on the screen. We're also got a text here in Colossians. So that's not my opinion. That is what God's Word teaches, and I think you're going to see that. But I will say, my own personal testimony, I was not raised in a Christian home. Therefore, I was never around any kind of Christian music. My dad listened to country music. He loved it. I loved it. You know, man, he listened to all the country artists, the big ones in the 70s, Marty Robbins, Ray Price, you know, all those guys. And so I grew up listening to that. But my older brothers, who were 9 and 11 years older than me, they like rock music. And so it's kind of funny, I could go literally downstairs and I'd hear Dad watching Hee Haw on TV, walk up the stairs and hear my brothers listening to Alice Cooper in their bedroom, you know. Go in my brother's bedroom, he had a big old poster, scared me to death as a little kid, had a big old life-size poster of Alice Cooper with a big snake wrapped around his neck, you know, all painted up. And so I was exposed to a wide spectrum of music as a child. Well, when I got to be a teenager, I gave my heart to Jesus and I got saved. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, of course, it changed my life. And I started going to church. I got involved in a youth group. And I had a friend of mine that said, "Hey, do you want to go to a Christian concert that I'm going to go to Friday night?" I'm like, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, there's this group singing, they're really good, and you'll like it." And I'm like, "Man, I don't know about that." He got, "No, man, just come." And I said, "All right." So I went, and of course, I'm a new man in Christ now, right? I got God's Spirit in me, and it instantly connected with that music. I absolutely loved it. And from that point on, that was all I wanted. I wanted Christ-filled music in my life. I instantly connected with that, my inner spirit. And it really helped me. Because again, when I got saved, I didn't know one verse of the Bible, not one. And so God's truth began to get in me via music. And it really helped me big time. Music has the power to enhance your relationships. We just came out of a 5-week series in a marriage conference all about relationships and the keys to relationships. Music can enhance your relationships, the right kind. The right kind of music can bring peace to your heart when you're troubled. The right kind of music can give you hope when you feel like you're in despair. It can really help you. Can we doubt that as Christians created in the image of God, that when we begin to let His truth get in us via music, we're just going to grow more rapidly as a Christian? We're going to grow more into the likeness of Christ when His truth is just filling our hearts with this Christ-honoring type of music. Now, what is the God-intended purpose of music? That's what I want to study this morning. How does God use music in our everyday lives? I think you're going to be surprised by some of the things that we look at. And we are going to see this morning the threefold purpose that God has for music right here in our text. God's going to explain it right here. He's going to lay it out where we can't miss it. And this issue affects all of us. So let's begin with number one in your handout. And I'm going to read scripture here to show you this. But number one, the first principle that I want you to get is this, is that music educates God's people. In other words, music is a teaching tool. I want you to look with me at verse 16. Go to Colossians 3. And I want you to look at verse number 16. All right? You got it? It says, let the word of Christ dwell. Where is God's word to dwell? In you, richly in all wisdom. How's God's word going to live inside of me? I mean, look, it's this book, and it's got words on a page. How does that get in me? Well, the way it gets in me is I got to learn it. And when I learn something, that means it's inside me. It's in my mind and hopefully in my heart. For example, if I said to you, what's 2 plus 2? You would say 4. And the reason why you know that is because you learned that at some point in your life. Now it's part of you. It just comes right out. Well, our motto at Crossroads, this is our church motto. Learning the Bible, living the Bible. Say that with me. Learning the Bible, living the Bible. You see, in order for God's word to get in you, you got to learn it. Now, a lot of churches aren't really teaching the Bible today, and that's a shame, because God's word, you got to learn it before you can live it. But God's plan is for you not just to learn it and get in you, but then He wants you to begin to live it. In other words, God wants to change our lives. He wants to take negative, ungodly patterns of behavior, and we all got them. And He wants to take those ungodly patterns of behavior, and He wants to change those into Christ-like character. All right, let me show you. Look at your Bible real quick. Look down and look at verse 12. Find verse 12 in the same chapter. And He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness, maturity. And let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts. Now, how in the world am I going to become humble, loving, kind, gentle, meek, patient, forgiving? How am I going to have that happen in my life? Well, here's the deal. It's not going to happen apart from the Bible, God's Word, because the Bible is the catalyst for change in our lives. So, what is one way God's Word's going to get in me and begin to change my life? Go to verse 16. All right, look at the next verse. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, here's what's interesting. Notice a way that God's word gets in you: teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's three different ways of saying music. Singing with grace in your hearts. What's the last three words? To the Lord. So He says here in your handout, he's teaching us here that music is a vital part of learning God's word. And that music is a, write this in, teaching tool. All right, we got it on the screen behind me. Music is a teaching tool. And it's so true. Some of us in here can remember songs from our childhood. Childhood. For some of us, that's a long time ago. Can I get an amen? All right? And the music help to embed the message in our minds. Listen, I don't think I've eaten two Big Macs from McDonald's in my whole life. I'm not against Big Macs. I just don't eat Big Macs. And yet, even though I probably haven't had two Big Macs in my whole life, I can tell you what's on a Big Mac. I can tell you. It's two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Wow, amazing. A lot of you know, too. You say, wait a minute. If you never eat Big Macs, how do you know what's on a Big Mac? Because I heard it as a child in a song. They had commercials. You remember? Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Right? Yeah, you remember? That is embedded forever in my mind because I learned it as a song. Do y'all believe music's a teaching tool? Amen? It is. Now, the thing is, God knows it too. In the Old Testament, the Levites, that's not a word we use a lot, you know, but the Levites, they were the spiritual leaders of God's people. They oversaw the house of God, and they were responsible for teaching the Bible to the people. Now, what's amazing, these Levites who were in charge of teaching the Bible, there was an amazing correlation between music and their service for God. Look at the screen behind me. It says, and the priest waited on their offices. The Levites, those are the guys that taught the Bible. The Levites also, notice, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry and the priests sounded trumpets before them and all Israel stood. Through David, God, in the Old Testament, King David, God organized an impressive music ministry. Get a load of this. The music ministry had 288 directors and over 3,700 singers and musicians. And God did it through the Levites. In fact, 1 Chronicles 25, I found this amazing when I was studying. It talks about them prophesying with their instruments. That's exactly what it says. It talks about how they prophesy many times in the Bible just means to proclaim the truth of God. It's just proclaiming His truth. And it says they prophesied with their harps. They prophesied with their cymbals. Amazing. They prophesied with their instruments. In other words, they were teaching the truth of God through music. So Paul is here in the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul is telling the church, hey guys, music's a powerful teaching tool for God's word. Well, obviously, the Levites, they already knew that way back in the Old Testament. In your handout, it asks a question. I want you to look at it. It's a good question I think every Christian should ask themselves. You're looking at it? Look at the question. Is your music helping you to become more like Jesus? And I think that's a fair question based on what we've read in the Bible. In other words, does your music lift you up or is it maybe dragging you down? Does the music you listen to help you to become more like Jesus or does the music you listen to program you to live like the world system out there of Satan? Think about the struggles in your life. What are your struggles? What's the sins that you deal with? Don't say it out loud. But you know what they are. What are your struggles? What are your addictions? What are the sins that you deal with? Now, I want you to think about this. Is your music helping you overcome those struggles? Or is it encouraging you to continue on in those struggles? You see, music is a teaching tool. Music educates God's people. Number two, write this in. Music encourages God's people. Music encourages God's people. I want you to go back to Colossians 3. And again, I want to show you in the Bible. Look at Colossians 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, and then what's the next two words? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wow! Singing with grace. In other words, the right kind of music causes me to sing with a grateful heart. He says, sing with a grace-filled heart. You notice he didn't say, sing with your cheating heart. Yeah. He didn't say, sing with your cheating heart. He said, sing with a grace-filled heart. In other words, the right kind of music puts more grace and it puts more gratitude in your heart. It just makes you a more grateful, thankful person to God. Over and over and over again, we see people in the Bible being encouraged through music. And here's the deal. We all get discouraged. Let's face it. Why do we get discouraged? I'll tell you exactly why we get discouraged. I'm telling you flat out, this is why we get discouraged, even as believers, all right? Is that it's so easy for us to get discouraged because you got these problems in your life, right? You got disappointments. People let you down and hurt you. You've got the dark clouds of trials and tribulations and problems. And those dark clouds really obscure God. We don't see God clearly because of all these dark clouds around us. Here's where music comes in. Godly music causes you to focus back on God and who He is. Godly music will bring God back into the light. It'll bring God back into the picture in your life. And of course, what that does is that just encourages our hearts big time. So many times I've been discouraged and I hear a song because I made a commitment a long time ago. I was going to listen to music that's going to help me, not hurt me. And so I'll listen to a song and it's exactly what I needed. It just picks me up, man. It just brings God right back into focus. It's as if the music just causes God to peek through those dark clouds. And I'm like, wow, yeah, God, you are awesome, like that song just said. Yeah, you know what, God? You are mighty. You are incredible. You do care. You do love me. You do care what I'm going through. You are there for me. And it just encourages me. If you look up at the screen, look at an example. He says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness. He's openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He's remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. Keep going. And it says, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So he says what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Rejoice. Sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Notice that in that psalm, God's salvation, God's victory, God's righteousness, God's faithfulness are all in view there. And the people of God, it's like he's saying, come on, guys, come on, sing it out, man. Come on, sing with us. Let's rejoice. Let's use our musical abilities and our voices to rejoice in him. Good music, man, will just encourage you so much in your daily life. So much music is just depressing. It's just discouraging. But, man, when you get the right kind of music, it just exalts, man. It just really helps you. Look in your handout at Psalm 92. All right, it's in your handout there. It says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Man, that's a good thing. He says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast, notice this, he says, you've made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. And I read that, and I'm like, look at that. I'm like, you know, look at the words associated with music here. He says, he talks about, he says, you made me glad. He uses the phrase, I will triumph. Why? Because the music that he's listening to, and psalms were music, those are words put to music back then. He says, man, this music is talking about God's faithfulness. It's talking about God's loving kindness. And he said, man, it's just causing me to triumph. Are y'all with me? All right, y'all awake out there, right? If your music is not encouraging you, and if it's not causing you to have a greater appreciation and gratitude towards God, I would highly advise, based on the Bible and my experience, I would advise trading out your music for some new music. And it's never been easier to do that than it is today. for $10 a month or $5 a month if you're a student. You can subscribe to Google Play, iTunes, and you've got access to about every song in the universe. You can listen to any kind of Christian music that is your preference, whatever genre you like. If you like country style, they've got that kind of Christian music. If you like more of a contemporary, they got that. If you like hymns, they got that. If you like more just a kind of just an easy listening or praise and worship, they got that. Good music is literally at your fingertips. Man, when I was growing up, if you tried to change your music library, that was not easy. How many of y'all remember the big LP albums that were about that big? You remember that? The big LP album covers. And man, to get rid of all them and try to get new music, that was an expensive venture. Today it's easy. Music encourages God's people. Number three, last point is this. Music not only instructs us, it not only teaches us, it educates us, but it encourages us. But number three, music exalts our God. Notice in verse 16, what he says, go back there with me, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Look at this, church. Singing with grace in your hearts. And then what's the last three words? To the Lord. Do y'all believe that we can sing to the Lord? Do y'all think God loves music? Absolutely. Does God love to be worshiped through music? That's what I see in Scripture. Look in your handout, 1 Chronicles 13:8. It's in your handout there if you turn it over. It says, and David and all Israel played. And the word play there is about instruments. They played, what's the next two words? Before God. How did they play and sing? With all their might. And with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. They did it with all their might. We see here that music can facilitate worship of God. God was their audience, and they did it with all their might. Those who could play instruments were playing. Those that couldn't were singing. And everyone was worshiping God with all their might through music. Music is meant to help us worship with all of our might. By the way, if we're going to do something for God, do you think we ought to do it with all our might? Look down at verse 23 in our text. Look at that verse, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it what? Heartily. That means with all your might, as to the Lord and not unto men. When was the last time you worshiped with all your might? It may have just been a few minutes ago, right, when we were singing? I hope so. When's the last time you worshiped him with all your might in your private devotion? I mean, you just let loose. Just let loose. Just worshiped him with all your might. You know, it's football season. People will go nuts cheering for their team. They'll go nuts. I mean, they will cheer with all their might. We're Packer fans at our house, and as you know, and my little two-year-old grandson has already learned the Packer chant. Y'all know what that is? At the stadium, at Lambeau Field, the organist will go, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun, and then everyone goes, go, Pack, go, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun, go, Pack, go. Well, my little two-year-old son was playing the other day at our house. He's in the bedroom. And I just leaned my head in the door, and I went, dun-dun-dun, da-dun-dun-dun. Never even looked up at me. He went, go, Pack, go. And he just kept playing, you know. Didn't even look up. It's just ingrained in him already, you know. But I thought, why? Isn't it funny that we'll worship our team with all of our might? Or, ladies, you'll worship a sale on Black Friday with all your might. You know, you'll get up at, you know, 2 in the morning to go hit that sale. You know, I'm going to shop with all my might. When's the last time we just worship God with all of our might? We need to put away the excuses. And you know what? We just need to worship God with all of our might. Amen, church? We just need to do it. That's what God wants. We have excuses, don't we? Look at this funny little video. It's just a minute and a half, and it's a guy in church that has all these excuses. Watch this. You're going to love it.
You know what I can't stand about church? It's the singing. Yeah, they start singing their worship songs, and they kind of want me to get excited and all fired up. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not an emotional guy. I'm just not.
Oh, my goodness! That's huge! That's like all the way to Mars!
I mean, that whole raising your hand thing, I just wouldn't do that in public.
Come on, Billy, man. Come on.
Whoa! Whoa, step back and Jay is cash! That's good. That's good. That means I'm good.
Guy makes one shot and he thinks he's Kobe.
You know, there's always that moment where they're singing and they want me to be louder, and I'm just not like that. That's not the kind of person I am. I'm more of the quiet type.
Look at this! Look what you did to your car!
It's not that bad.
Not that bad?
The tree popped out of nowhere.
Popped out of nowhere, did it? Yeah, about 300 years ago!
You believe it? I mean, I gotta do this every Sunday. I know, it's crazy, these people.
Yeah, I don't get excited. I don't raise my voice. Yeah, sure, right. That raising your hand thing, you know. He makes the basket. Yes, yes. I don't do that in church, though, you know. It's important to remember, by the way, who is our main audience when we're singing? God is. The God who hears all things can always hear our singing, and he wants to hear our singing. He wants to hear our songs of praise to him. In fact, look in your handout at Psalm 33, 2 and 3. It says, praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Man, isn't that neat? God wants to hear us sing. Your wife may not want to hear you sing, but God wants to hear you sing. He loves it. God loves music, doesn't he? Look in your handout. It says God loves it when people sing to him and they play skillfully to him with instruments. Man, I wish I could play an instrument, man. If I could play, I'd be playing somewhere for the Lord. I'd be playing, man, up here or at teen church, or I'd be playing at a nursing home or somewhere. If you love God and you know God loves music, then why would you not want to play unto the Lord? So whether you're in the choir, in the band, in the congregation, always remember this. The main audience for our singing and our playing is never the people around us or in front of us. It's God. In your handout, look at 2 Chronicles 30, 21. It says, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments, and say the last three words with me, unto the Lord. Please don't get the idea that they were lightly strumming a harp. They got multiple instruments of string and brass and percussion going. It got loud as they praised the Lord. Man, they're doing it unto the Lord, and it got loud. Some of the people probably turned their hearing aids down back then. What do you think, huh? God loves singing. He loves instruments that make music. Let me ask him, is God against instruments? No. Look in your handout. Look at 1 Chronicles 16, 42. It says, with trumpets and cymbals, for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. Instruments are amoral. Instruments can be used to glorify God or Satan. It just depends on whose hand they're in. You look at that guitar right there, that guitar is not evil, and that guitar is not holy. That guitar can be used to glorify God, or it can be used to glorify the devil. It just depends on who's playing it. Look in your handout, 2 Samuel 6, 5. It says, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on, what's the next two words? All manner of instruments. And it names a bunch of them. God, listen, hey, we've got instruments up here. Do we have all the instruments? No. You say, well, why don't you have this instrument or that? It's just probably because nobody's ever stepped up to play. Nobody's ever said, man, I want to play to the Lord. You know, I remember when Wade Rowden joined the church, and he's like, man, I play the trumpet, and if you guys think I'm okay, man, I'd love to, you know, play the trumpet for the Lord. And like, yeah, man, that sounds great. Yeah, I mean, God's not against that. talks about the musical instruments of God. Let me show you one more passage here in conclusion that really demonstrates how that music is a way for us to exalt God. It's up on the screen, so I want you to look behind me. Look at this incredible passage. It says, also the Levites, which were the singers, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. I love that. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, which is a symbol of God showing up, even the house of the Lord. Get the picture, man. It's incredible. These musicians and these singers, they're in the house of God in their Sunday best, man. I mean, they got white linen on. I mean, they're serious about this thing. And you got this huge Levite choir assembled. They take up their instruments. Then 120 priests get in on it. They got 120 trumpets up on their lips. And boom, the downbeat comes. Hundreds of instruments are playing. 120 trumpets blare. This huge choir is singing, God is good and his love endures forever. And I'm sure it was loud. But that music inspired worship in those that had come with the purpose of worship in mind. And the singers and the musicians were as one in praising and thanking the Lord. And man, I mean, these people, they got it. They got it. And the ultimate result was something amazing. You know what it was? God showed up in a big way. As we make music for the Lord, the Holy Spirit inspires us through that music to encounter our Lord. Let me give you this. In your handout, it says this. Two quick thoughts. Ready? I want to end it with two thoughts here. Music, actually three thoughts. Number one, music is a good thing. Nowhere in the Bible do we see God change his mind on this. All right? This isn't an Old Testament thing. You go to the New Testament, what do you see? Jesus Christ sings with his disciples. Jesus Christ talks about singing in heaven. The Apostle Paul talks about the church teaching through music. You go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and they're gathered around the throne of the Lamb of Jesus up in heaven, and they're singing a new song up there. I mean, they are getting with it up there with the music in heaven. So nowhere does God change his mind on that. Music's a good thing. Number two there, music is a God thing, all right? God created it. God made it. It was God's idea. Now, question. Can mankind, and Satan find a way to corrupt something that God has made? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With anything. Anything good God makes, Satan can find a way to corrupt it. Man can find a way to corrupt it. So, yes, music can definitely be corrupted, and it can be used for Satan. But I just want you to see that music in and of itself, it's a good thing. It's a God thing. And number three, music is a powerful way for us to serve God. If you have abilities, you really ought to be using them for God to express our gladness, our thankfulness, and our triumph that we have in God. Now, before you pack up, I want you to look this way just for a moment, and I want to kind of put a caboose on this, and here's what I want to say. I hope the message this morning will cause you to think about your music, because here's the deal. I believe a lot of Christians have a disconnect on this because it's never been taught. And so therefore, we just don't really give any thought to our music, how it impacts us, how it affects us. We don't really think God cares about it one way or the other. What I hope you've seen this morning is pretty much beginning to end in the Bible, music's a God thing. And I want you to see this. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I know some of you are going to, I'm going to lose you right here. But for me, now this is just me. Everyone's different. For me, when I got saved and I came to know the Lord, and if you're not saved today and you don't know your sins are forgiven, you need to get that settled. But once you become a child of God, and the new nature of Christ comes to live within you, I instantly was drawn to Christ you know, that Christian, Christ-filled music when I heard it. There was an instant draw for me. I knew, man, wow, that music's about my Savior. Man, I didn't even know they made such a thing like that. I didn't even know that existed. And I was instantly drawn to that. The spirit inside of me instantly connected with that. For me, it has not been a big struggle. Because I just want music that's going to just encourage me the right way. It's going to exalt God. So for me, it's been a huge help and blessing in my life. Now, for you, it may be a stronghold for you. Maybe there's music that you've listened to that you know is dragging you down. You know it's not causing you to love your wife and your kids more. You know it's not causing you to think on the right things. But it's a struggle because that's what you always listened to before you knew the Lord. What I would encourage you to do is make a commitment and say, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment to take the stuff that's associated with the old man, the old person that didn't know Jesus. I want to get that out. But then you got to replace it with good Christ-honoring music. What happens if you don't replace it with good music? What do you think is going to end up happening? You're going to get drawn back into the bad stuff again, right? You're going to get drawn. It's a principle of replacement. You put off the old man, you put on the new man. You have to root out that which is not helping you, and you have to replace it with good stuff that will help you. It's that way with every area, not just music. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.